everybody. Bill Buckmaster with you, along with my buddy Tom Fairbanks. Tom, good thing we are not in the Tampa, St. Pete area. Already hurricane. Of course, the warnings are up. I mean, the big one is going to be hitting probably in about 12 hours or so. But
in the wee hours of tomorrow morning.
The wee hours of the early morning. But already it's like all these tornadoes. As the kind of the front starts to move in, but I know I complain a lot about the heat and day after day.
Well, that's one thing you wouldn't have to complain about over there.
No, I wouldn't have to complain about the heat over there, but I have to complain about a lot of other things with two hurricanes like that in like 2 weeks. It is the Buckmaster Show. We are off and running here, midweek edition, October the 9th, 2024. We'll begin our 15th year on the radio in January. We're coming to you from the Green Things Zocalo Village Studio, part of the Bustos Media growing presence here in town. We have 5 radio stations under one roof. This one is 1030 The Voice, KVOI. We have our worldwide live listening at buckmastershow.com. And when we do our telephone interviews, the live line is presented by Rincon Ventures Real Estate and Property Management. We're off and running now with our quarterly segment, What Are You Reading These Days? With Bruce and Greg, writer, journalist, editor, photographer, and publisher, Greg McNamee is the Greg in the Bruce and Greg, and he has written or is the title page editor of 45 books, including Tortillas, Tiswan, and T-Bones, A Food History of the Southwest, and Gila, The Life and Death of an American River. He's the operator of Sonora Word Works, an editorial and publishing service. And the Bruce in the Bruce and Greg, What Are You Reading These Days, is Bruce Dingus. Bruce retired from the Arizona Historical Society, where he was the editor of the Journal of Arizona History. He was also a judge of the Southwest Books of the Year competition for more than 3 decades. Greg still is a judge, aren't you, Greg?
Mm-hmm.
First of all, great to see you guys.
Thank you.
Thank you, Bill.
Thank you very much. All right. Let's begin with Bruce. What are you reading these days, Bruce?
Well, I came a little late to this book. It's Deborah Jackson Taffa's Whiskey Tender, a memoir. She was at the book festival last spring, and the book had just come out. Now it's a finalist for the National Book Award. And it's a terrific memoir, not exactly happy times, but she's currently the director of the MFA program at Santa Fe's Institute of American Indian Arts. And in this book, she describes the trauma of growing up biracial in the 1970s and 80s Southwest. The daughter of a Cajun Paiute father and a Pueblo Hispanic mother, she experienced firsthand the tragic effects of centuries of settler colonialism, compounded by the 1948 Federal Relocation Act, disrupted reservation life at Yuma, and deposited her family among hostile whites and Navajos at Farmington, New Mexico. Her struggle to fit in leads to an attempted suicide before she discovers the inner strength to reclaim her indigenous identity. And the thing that really sticks with me on this book at the end, she says, my rage is against the fear that this country has of its own history, which just really rings a bell with me.
Okay. How about Greg? What are you putting at the, well, top of your list, first pick?
My first pick for this cycle is, if you're a fan of Haruki Murakami, the brilliant Japanese novelist, you know that he has a number of obsessions. He loves the music of the Beatles, as well as American jazz. He drinks a lot of coffee. A lot of coffee. And and he has trouble distinguishing whatever the real world is, whatever we call it, and whatever the not-quite-real world is that he's cooked up. So his newest novel is called The City and Its Uncertain Walls. And in it, Murakami transports himself, or somebody very much like himself anyway, back to late adolescence. A 17-year-old adolescent protagonist falls in love with a 16-year-old girl who leads him to a strange city that doesn't appear on any map, saying, not everybody can enter. You need special qualifications to do that. And it appears that he has those qualifications because they put him to work reading dreams, this library of dusty, backlogged dreams that are up on shelves higher than he can read.
A dream reader.
Dream reader, yeah. And in that quiet library, he grows to middle age. And then he goes off to a little mountain village where he meets a younger version of himself who has the Beatles-y name of Yellow Submarine Boy, as well as another librarian who, well, as he puts it, without hesitation, I'd say that although it's rather dated and convenient, you could call me a ghost. The stories intertwine. They wind their way in and out of various worlds, each character searching for something that's just a little bit out of reach. Trademark Murakami, hallucinatory and elegant, beautifully written, always with the reminder that in the end, all you need is love.
Mm-hmm. The book is The City and Its Uncertain Walls. Murakami has been around a while, hasn't he? He's very well known.
Yeah, he's been writing. He's been publishing since the 80s, anyway. Yeah, great writer. Really, really enjoy his work.
Bruce Dingus, Richard Grant, one of your picks. Richard's really done a lot of great work over the years.
Yeah, one of my favorite books, God's Middle Finger, that was written when he was living here a decade or so ago. And
then he moved to Mississippi or
something? Yeah, his new book is A Race to the Bottom of Crazy, Dispatches from Arizona. And he's actually a Malaysian-born British journalist, but he packs a lot into this fascinating rumination on the place where he's chosen to live half his life. He returns to Tucson with his Arizona-born wife and their little daughter after a decade living in rural Mississippi. And Grant now digs in deep into what makes this state, Arizona, unique and endlessly interesting. And so he takes readers along on desert camping trips, to gun shows, to a machine and gunapalooza in the desert where people fire off tanks and large illegal weapons, to a Trump rally in Prescott and walking in beauty on the Navajo Reservation. And along the way, we are introduced to some of Arizona's founding myths, crooked politicians, and eccentric characters, including his friend and mentor, the late Chuck Bowden, monsoon floods, and dwindling water tables. The thread tying this all together is a 60-year-old father's relationship with a 6-year-old daughter and his endless curiosity about this place he calls home. I think this book belongs in every Arizonan's library, whether you're a newcomer or you've lived here all your life.
Here's the good news. Richard Grant will be here on this program on October the 23rd. I will not be interviewing. However, I have interviewed Richard in the past. Because I'm going on vacation starting Friday, be away for a couple of weeks, Jim Ninsel will be one of the guest hosts. And Jim tells me that he has Richard Grant lined up for the show on October 23rd. So that's good news. That fits right into what we're talking about today. Why don't we do, before we take the break, let's go back to Greg and take Greg's number two pick.
Okay. Well, I closed off the last book with the admonition, all you need is love. Mm-hmm. Alex Murdoch, who is a South Carolina lawyer and de facto boss of a little county down close to the Georgia border, he didn't really need love. What he needed was all your money, piles and piles of money. And he needed those piles of money because he swallowed suitcases of pills, uppers and downers, and he snorted mountains of cocaine, and he drank oceans of whiskey. And to get the money, he stole from his clients. Some of them were too afraid to say anything. Some of them just decided to keep their mouth shut and not rock the boat, so to speak. Well, in the end, he killed his wife and son to keep them quiet, too. And then he cooked up an elaborate story that was too much even for the cops that were on the take all around him. And when they put him on trial, after plenty of legal tricks to delay and forestall and disqualify, he said simply, "Oh, what a tangled web we weave." Valerie Bauerlein, who's a reporter for the Wall Street Journal, tells the sordid tale, which just gets steadily darker and uglier. It's like
a
Carl
true story.
Hiaasen. It is. It's a Whoa. True story. It is like a Carl Hiaasen or a Harry Cruz novel gone into the real world and just as ugly. Her book is called Devil at His Elbow. The Devil at His Elbow. And the haunting thing about it, to my mind, is she closes with a vision of Murdoch in prison for life. Mm-hmm. No chance of ever getting out unless somebody pardons him. But he's already organized his own little empire inside that prison.
He's already organizing.
He's got people running errands for him, doing favors for him. He's writing letters of appeal. He does all this stuff, and he's just as, you know, I mean, it's less opulent than his former surroundings, but he's still the kingfish.
He's like the kingfish in this South Carolina prison.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Again, the truth can be stranger than fiction.
Absolutely so, yes. And this is a book that just, it's a gift that keeps on giving if what you want to be receiving is nightmares.
Mm-hmm. Well, Greg McNamee and Bruce Dingus, we're doing our quarterly What the Heck Are You Reading These Days, Bruce and Greg. Let's pause right here and talk about my favorite bakery. What do you say? Mona's Danish Bakery, home of the Danish Kringle, northeast corner of Swan and Sunrise. We love Mona's, and a lot of people love Mona's now, Bruce and Greg, even more because Steve, the owner, applied for a liquor license. And it was granted, of course. And so now you can do in the morning, you can do the mimosa. They've got a wide variety of beers, domestic and imported. I think they're pouring the Italian beer. Slips my mind which one that is.
Peroni?
Peroni.
Yeah.
They're pouring Peroni up there. So you could have a beer at lunch. You could have a glass of wine.
Beer and Kringle, yum.
Yeah.
Beer, yeah. Beer and Kringle at Mona's Danish Bakery, northeast corner of Swan and Sunrise. Their website's looking really good, too, because it will very much tempt you with all the beautiful photos of just about everything on the menu. There are some items that might not be on the menu, like I ask for their tuna melt. That's kind of one of the Buckmaster favorites. So you can ask for that at lunch and they'll make it up for you. It's not officially on the menu. Anyway, Mona's Danish Bakery, one of our great sponsors. More with Bruce and Greg about books and what folks are reading these days, at least what Bruce and Greg are reading. And we'll also talk about Greg's new book about the University of Arizona, which is launching. The book's being released mid-October. All right, be back right after this.
Family-owned Jam Culinary Concepts and its family of restaurants has you covered for your special event. Jam caters anytime, anywhere, any size group, and any type of cuisine. Vero Amore, authentic Neapolitan pizza, and Noble Hops. Craft beer and fine fare are synonymous with quality. Call 954-1468 or log on to jamculinaryconcepts.com. Buckmaster Show listeners know that I'm passionate about travel. When I'm ready to take off on a new adventure, my air travel begins and ends at Tucson International Airport. TUS is nonstop for our community and Southern Arizona. So remember, to fly local, fly Tucson. Tucson International is nonstop for Tucson. More at flytucson.com.
On average, the Regional Transportation Authority annually contributes over $100 million to regional transportation improvements to supplement limited federal and state funds. This critical funding source provides funding for nearly two-thirds of our region's needed transportation improvements through its 2006 voter-approved half-cent sales tax. To receive updates on a new 20-year plan in development, visit rtanext.com.
Cushman & Wakefield Picor is Tucson's leading independently owned full-service commercial real estate company. Founded in 1985, Cushman & Wakefield Picor offers leasing, sales, and property management for industrial, office, medical, retail, land, and investment properties in Tucson and Sonora, Mexico. Visit our website at picor.com for the latest news from Tucson's commercial real estate sector. That's picor.com. Call us at 748-7100. This is Bill Buckmaster urging my listeners to join me in becoming a member of the Reed Park Zoo, one of America's top zoos and home to more than 300 animals from all over the world. When you become a zoo member, you receive free daytime admission, discounts on special events and education programs, and so much more. Find out more about zoo membership and everything you need to know about your zoo visit, reedparkzoo.org.
The extraordinary beauty and craftsmanship of Mexican artisans is yours at Clay and Cloth in Barrio Viejo, featuring gorgeous clay pottery sourced from southern Mexico, including Oaxaca, Puebla, Merida, and Hidalgo. Also discover amazing textiles you won't find anywhere else in Tucson. Clay and Cloth also has an incredible selection of new Dia de los Muertos merchandise. See the selection on Instagram at Mad Max the Dog Shop and visit Clay and Cloth. Open Tuesday through Saturday from 11 a.m. to 5 p.m. at 310 South Convent, just south of Cushing.
We are back in the Green Thing Zocalo Village Studios. It's time for part two of our quarterly segment, What Are You Reading These Days, with Bruce and Greg. Greg is Greg McNamee, who very prolific writer. He's written, or is the title page editor of 45 books. Bruce Dingus is here. Bruce retired from the Arizona Historical Society, where he was editor of the Journal of Arizona History. We are in the Green Thing Zocalo Village Studios. We love green things because they have everything you could possibly need for your garden on their 13-acre site at 3384 East River Road. GreenThingsAZ.com and their sister business is Zocalo Village, which is right there on the 13-acre site. Their website, ZocaloVillage.com. They are open daily, and they didn't get off the bus yesterday. They've been in business 53 years. All right, let's pick up now with book number three as we begin our segment number two. Greg, what do you... You've got a book about football, or no? Excuse me. We're going to actually, I think, begin with Bruce. And Bruce, we were talking about your two previous items that you shared with our listeners. Deborah, is it Taffa, Whiskey Tender, a memoir. You told us about that, and then Richard Grant, A Race to the Bottom of Crazy, Dispatches from Arizona, and he will be a guest coming up October 23rd here on the show. So book number three, Bruce Dingus.
Book number three is Evan Frist, The Bookshop, A History of the American Bookstore. And if you love books like I do, I'll guarantee you're going to enjoy this book. Frist, who has written previous books on urban cycling, which I also enjoy, takes readers on an anecdote-filled journey into the world of independent booksellers. Beginning with colonial polymath Ben Franklin, we follow the arc of bookselling history through the experiences of a baker's dozen of iconic stores, some of them big, like The Strand in
the
New
Strand,
York.
The Strand, yeah, that's a big
Gotham
one.
Gotham Bookmark.
Powell's.
Marshall Field, which I remember from growing up.
Oh, yeah.
Growing
Marshall
up
Field in Chicago, downtown Chicago. I remember that.
And Barnes & Noble. And then the small ones, the Arian Bookstore. You can pretty much guess what that carries. the Oscar Wilde Bookstore, which is LGBTQ. Drum & Spear, an African-American bookstore. And an eclectic band of sidewalk vendors. All roads, of course, lead to Amazon.com, against whom the author optimistically reports today's independents are more than holding their own. My signed copy of The Bookshop, which I ordered from Parentheses Books in Harrisonburg, Virginia, came with a handwritten note from the author's wife who works there thanking me for supporting our little bookshop, followed by a heart emoji. And this is why I love little bookstores. And both Friss and Grant, I should say, too, will also be at the Tucson Festival of Books next March.
How are bookstores doing then generally? What was your feeling about that after reading this book?
I think he makes a good case. You know, you can just get things in small bookstores and a personal experience that you'll never get from Amazon.com. And you also get surprised in little bookstores finding books you never knew you needed to have. Mm-hmm. So I love them.
All right. Greg, let's resume your count. Number one and two, The City and Its Uncertain Walls, and then that interesting story about the devil at his elbow. But let's talk a little bit about football.
Yeah, well, of course, it's football season, and the great question is, why do we love football?
Why do we love football?
Yeah, well, granted, not everybody does, but for those who do, a man named Joe Posnanski serves up 100 reasons to love football in his new book, Why We Love Football. Kind of circular there, but anyway, he opens with a splendid anecdote about linebacker Dick Butkus.
Remember
Dick Butkus?
Of course, being from Chicago, of course I remember.
Yeah, well, he was renowned for smacking into his opponents hard enough to send him into the next zip code. When Raquel Welch, when Butkus retired and he went into acting, he played alongside Raquel Welch once, and she wondered, because he seemed like such a nice guy, and she wondered why he had a reputation as being such a meanie. And one of Posnanski writes that one of the crew members said, "Well, if you want to find out, just pick up a football." In recounting 100 episodes in football history, Posnanski, who was at the last Tucson Festival of Books, he's fond of miracles. So one ranking 14th on his top 100 list is the famed Hail Mary, of course, the Roger Staubach threw in December 75, a pass that Staubach didn't necessarily invent it, but boy, he got into the history books with it. And Posnanski's history of the Hail Mary goes back decades before that. But last ditch, a hope against hope, temptation of fate that actually worked. That's why we love football, because miracles happen. Voila, a miracle. Just as when Joe Montana pitched a ball into an opposing Dallas line, luring them into coverage that left his receiver wide open to make a game-closing touchdown after San Francisco had come far from behind. All of which Posnanski sets up with the offhand opening. Joe Montana was on the smaller side, and his arm didn't wow you, and he seemed a little bit frail.
Yet?
Well, and yet, he pulled off a miracle, just as some of today's younger quarterbacks, and I'm thinking Patrick Mahomes and Jaden Daniels and Brock Purdy and this new crop of players, they seem to be pulling off every game day. So 100 reasons to love football.
Yeah, I mean, Northern Illinois knocking off Notre Dame, and then, of course, the huge upset of Vanderbilt last Saturday beating Alabama. So, yeah, the miracles are still happening, and he talks a lot about kind of 100 reasons why to love football. And you've been looking at, speaking of 100, you've been looking at a history of 100 stories, Greg McNamee. In fact, the University of Arizona, A History of 100 Stories is your new book. The book launch is really is here. It's upon us. The book is really just out. How'd this project come about briefly, Greg?
Well, John Schaefer, who was the president of the university when I came here as an undergraduate in 1975, was looking to sponsor a history of the university. And we talked back and forth. The history that I think he envisioned and the U of A press envisioned was very much different from this one. And Joe Posnanski, who had done a previous book on baseball, 100, but there have been a whole chain of, 100
places to see before you die.
Just a whole, it seemed like a nice round number to,
it's like a franchise.
To do. And instead of doing a kind of a straightforward narrative history, which, to be honest, sounded kind of dull to me.
Yeah.
I thought, let's do kind of a 100 greatest hits. And that evolved into 100 stories. So there are 100 stories. There are actually more than 100 because each story has a story within a story. Mm-hmm. So it's kind of 1001 Arabian Nights in that kind of way.
And it begins with the University of Arizona's beginning in 1885.
Right. Absolutely so. And even before then, one of the interesting things about this town was that Tucson was too much of a cow town, too much of a hick town to really feel the university back when people started thinking about it. But the people who started thinking about it, one of them was Jacob Mansfeld, of course, who had a stationery store and a bookstore.
Mm-hmm. Mm.
And Mose Drachman and people like that. So the three great founders of the university, along with the entire community, they just went out. One of the reactions was, you know, whoever heard of a university professor buying anybody a drink when they went out looking for money? And they said, well, just don't worry about that so much. Just give us the money and we'll make it work. And of course, you know, we were left with the university because Phoenix claimed the legislature. They had the state capitol and also the state territorial asylum.
The insane asylum.
Yeah. And so running a very distant third was the university here.
Yeah.
And it was kind of, I think, thought of as a consolation prize. And boy, did we fool them.
Yeah.
Over the 140-year period, the university has become one of the leading, what they call R1, research universities in the world in a number of fields, particularly astronomy, space sciences, anthropology, all things covered in this book. Plus, I get a couple of ghost stories in.
And Dr. Andrew Weil is featured in your Healing Arizona section on the book. And speaking of Dr. Weil, you'll be joined by Dr. Weil at the campus bookstore, campus store in the Student Union at noon. And that's going to be coming up Saturday, October 12th.
Huh? Yeah.
Yeah. So there's all sorts of great stories in there. Where can people get this book, Greg McNamee?
Well, I think they can get it, of course, from your better independent bookstores anywhere.
Yes.
But the university bookstore. It is at Amazon. If you choose to go that route, there's. I think it'll be out there and about. But
all right.
I hope go to the homecoming game and get a copy. I think they're going to be selling it right there in front of the. I hope.
All right. Greg McNamee and Bruce Dingus, thanks very much, guys. We'll check in before Christmas, talk about some Christmas book giving. Thanks, gentlemen.
Thank you.
Thank you, Bill.
Okay.
Dine in or take out authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza at Vero Amore, where every flavorful pizza, pasta, and panini are homemade using the finest local and imported ingredients. Vero Amore, Plaza Palomino at Swan and Fort Lowell, and on Dove Mountain in Marana, plus a full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events. Vero Amore, on the web at veroamorepizza.com.
The Friends of Pima Animal Care Center is the nonprofit partner to our Pima County Animal Shelter. We grant critically needed resources to PACC so that it can continue the amazing life-saving progress it has made in recent years. Your generosity helps us find homes for abused, neglected, and abandoned animals at PAC. Learn how you can help at friendsofpacc.org.
The Green Valley News and Sarita's Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The News and Sun's media reach 75% of the region through newspapers, websites, social media, video, newsletters, and more. They also produce more than a dozen print and digital magazines annually for an audience of 70,000. Find them at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita's Sun, covering your hometown.
Family owned and run since 1985, Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing is the gold standard for quality and professionalism for picture framing, custom frame mirrors, art for your walls, and hanging and lighting solutions. Come in for your design session or set it up electronically. Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, Fort Lowell and Dodge, and now doing e-commerce at moesgallery.com.
Hi, this is Irene Coppola, President and CEO of the Better Business Bureau serving Southern Arizona. The BBB sets the standards for marketplace trust by engaging with and educating consumers and businesses. The BBB is the resource to turn to for the objective, unbiased information on businesses offering national and local consumer services online and in person. Learn more about the many services offered by the Better Business Bureau at bbb.org.
For more than a half century, Tucson Gardeners trust Green Things, a family-owned and operated retail and wholesale plant nursery, offering an amazing variety of plants, trees, cacti, pottery, and so much more, all at great prices. The 13.5-acre site by the Rito River is also home to the Zocalo Village, specializing in fine Mexican and Latin American imported furniture and art. Green Things open daily at 3384 East River Road and at greenthingsaz.com and zocalovillage.com. Nestled in the foothills of the Santa Rita Mountains of southeastern Arizona is Equine Voices and Sanctuary, home to horses and burros that were rescued from neglect, abuse, abandonment, and slaughter. Please consider Equine Voices Rescue and Sanctuary with a financial gift of support and estate remembrance. Learn more about our vision and values at equinevoices.org.
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show and the Green Thing is Zocalo Village Studios. Time for our insider travel talk on the Buckmaster Show. Our travel contributor, Ryan Hansen, President and Chief Executive, Chief Operating Officer of Bon Voyage Travel, Arizona's premier agency since 1976. The Bon Voyage travel experts are available right now to create your trip of a lifetime. There are three Southern Arizona Bon Voyage travel offices, River and Campbell, Green Valley, and Oro Valley, bvtravel.com, their fine website. I like to say it's the first stop in making your travel dreams come true. Let's welcome now on the live line, Ryan Hansen. Rhino, how are you?
I'm doing great. How are you, Bill?
Doing well. And during our half hour together today, we're going to talk about the 10 hottest destinations. These are the 10 destinations that are really trending for 2025, according to American Express Travel. But before we do that, there are a couple of travel developments we need to let our listening travel listeners know about. One of them are the changes about European travel, Rhino.
Yeah, super interesting what the European Union is banding together and has made a change to their entry and exit system. Essentially, next month, November 10th, they're launching an online portal for all travelers that are traveling to Europe in 2025 to have to register, essentially, for an authorization that will be digitally found for them to be able to travel into the European Union. It's going to be a nominal fee. I believe it's under £10 per traveler, but that's something new where we have not had North America travelers, or specifically Americans traveling to a European Union country, have to fill out paperwork. There hasn't been a visa required. This is short of a visa. It's more of an authorization for travel, so it won't require a significant amount of time or registration information, but they are trying to shore up some security things just so that they know who is transiting to and from their countries, and also just have an indication of what your travel history is. So be on the lookout for that. If you've got travel plans for Europe in 2025, you will have that requirement that needs to be done. And it would just behoove you to have it done in advance. I think you will be able to do it upon arrival, but that will just slow down your entry into said country.
Well, will you have to be like fingerprinted, or will there be anything invasive about this, Ryan Hansen?
Yeah, there could be some fingerprinting involved at the port of arrival. And I say port, that could be airport or cruise port. So be prepared for that. That's still being worked out right now. But it is definitely something to be aware of, because while you're visa exempt, you'll still have to apply for this travel authorization.
So this does not kick in immediately. If you've got plans like to go to some of the holiday markets, it's very popular. People like to go to Austria and Germany for the holiday markets in early December. You won't need to worry about this, Ryan?
Correct. The start date for the portal, the website, is intended right now to be launched November 10th. All the details will be on in an online. So you can just do a quick Google search and ask, you know, type in Google European travel information and authorization system would be something that you'd want to type in, or EU entry, and that portal is going to launch. But the actual requirement to have the documentation in will not be in place for travelers that are traveling until probably the middle of 2025.
And these are the kind of things that when you have a travel executive, I like to say a travel planner, like the people at Bon Voyage, they can help you through this process. It's all part of your, you know, running a really full service company.
Yeah, these are things that as a traveler, if it's a new destination or in many cases a repeat destination where something has changed, you don't even know to look for it or to ask for it because we utilize these types of technologies and we're sending travelers every day to these destinations. This is what we live in, right? This is our area of expertise. So all of our advisors will be able to help you walk through those things that you wouldn't even know about. You're like, well, I went to Spain 2 years ago. I didn't know I had to have an authorization. Or the, you know, the UK, not being now a part of the EU, is going to be implementing their own version of a travel authorization as well. So you could say, well, I went to London, you know, just a couple of months ago, and why do I need that now? Well, that is a new development. And again, I believe it is, the justification for it, Bill, really is more so for security purposes, to really have an appreciation and understanding of who is transiting the countries at large here so that they can share information, share data, and provide a safer travel experience, albeit it's a little bit of a nuisance for those of us that are traveling. But I think you'll find it to be a nuisance, not a barrier for entry, because the cost is going to be £10 or less. I think £7 for the UK version, and then the EU, I think it's going to be a euro of around 10 euros. So that's not cost prohibitive. And again, you won't be having to supply a blood sample or your first child to be able to transit and to go to a country within the EU. It's going to be just more of a registration form.
All right. Aviation news. I understand United has said they are now committed to free Wi-Fi.
It's about time, right, Bill? Those things that we have all enjoyed and that were maybe a perk of travel if you had loyalty or it was a nominal fee to have to pay for it. We're getting, I think, closer and closer to universal Wi-Fi and where airlines recognize that travelers want to stay connected. The days of being disconnected when you travel and the beauty of, well, I can't take a call or I can't see my email or I'm on a trip and I get to relax, those days are over. Many travelers now want to stay connected, not only for the business purpose to keep in contact for emails and text messages, but just for sharing of social media opportunities and other things. We're expecting the United Airline Group to implement SpaceX's Starlink satellite service that will be on over 1,000 airplanes in the next several years. I believe they'll roll it out in a measured approach. I don't quote me on this, Bill, but on January 1, don't expect every United plane to have complimentary Wi-Fi deployed on every aircraft. Those things take time. But we're happy to see that it's going to be deployed. And the best part about it is that complimentary side of things.
Before we get into the hot trending, I'm not talking about hot weather-wise, and when I say hot, people are thinking of this record-breaking heat we're having here in Tucson, but destinations that are really trending big time this fall. I just wanted to bring up that Southwest Airlines has said they're going to be changing maybe reserve seats, paying for extra legroom. Are you hearing anything about that, Ryan, about when that might start?
Yeah, I haven't heard a start date, but it is an interesting development, right, Bill? When you have the three primary carriers, American, United, and Delta, domestically, that have serviced many, many customers for years and have had premium seating for extra legroom. They've had assigned seating. Now they've taken it to the next level. It's not just pick your seat, but you almost, if you want any seat that's worth sitting in, you have to pay for it in advance. It's a charge that comes to you. I think those three airlines have found people are willing to pay for that. And one of the great alternatives of, I believe, why Southwest had done so well for so many years was they could be the low-cost leader in the space, but then your experience was maybe compromised slightly because you didn't board by loyalty. You boarded by when you logged on and got your boarding pass, and it was just the group that you were in, and then free seating, sit anywhere. There was no premium cabin, or there were no assigned seats. I think they were able to market to that because you could keep the pricing down and say, well, you're paying a very low price. You shouldn't have those expectations. Now I think they're seeing the traveler has changed their expectations, right? Even the low-cost leader traveler that wants the steal of a deal on an airline ticket is gravitating towards the less anxious travel day of not knowing which seat I'm in and the bombarding the gate 2 hours early, and I'm just going to stand in line until I get on because I can't sit in the middle seat. I think those days might be behind us in regards to travelers. At least Southwest is recognizing, I think, from a financial standpoint, they possibly are losing market share to the three primary carriers that do have assigned seats and, again, are charging for it. So can Southwest find still that happy medium? Maybe they can still be the low-cost leader. It's going to be an increased ticket price, but not to the point of where the other carriers are at, to still be that low-cost leader. That's going to be an interesting development, and I think it's going to take a few more months for them to roll that out to the general public.
All right. When we come back on Travel Talk with Ryan Hansen, we'll talk about some of these trending destinations for the autumn, according to American Express. It is Travel Talk with Ryan Hansen, our travel contributor on the Buckmaster Show. We'll take a break, then back with Rhino right after this.
Noble Hops is Tucson's original gastropub, serving an ever-changing menu of craft beer and fine fare. Savor the majestic mountain views from the perfect for any season spacious patio at West Lambert Lane and North La Cañada Drive in Oro Valley. Order in or take out at Noble Hops, a pub for foodies. On the web at noblehops.com.
International Airport, we are nonstop for our community. Our main priorities are providing a safe and secure travel experience and excellent customer service. We're also nonstop for landing prosperity in Southern Arizona by attracting new flights for business travel and family getaways. When your airport thrives, our community thrives. So fly local, fly TUS. Tucson International Airport is nonstop for Tucson.
In 2006, Pima County voters approved the Regional Transportation Authority's 20-year Regional Transportation Plan and half-cent sales tax. They are both effective through June 30, 2026. For the region to receive continued funding for another 20 years, the RTA is developing a new plan and tax extension for voter consideration. Public input will be key. To receive updates on a new 20-year plan in development, visit rtanext.com. The nonprofit Tucson Wildlife Center has been helping injured, sick, and orphan wildlife in Southern Arizona since 1999. They're dedicated to the rescue, medical care, and rehabilitation of sick, injured, and orphan wildlife, with the goal of releasing them back to their natural habitat. Around 5,000 animals a year come to them, as they are the only wildlife rescue in Southern Arizona. All made possible through donations. They receive no government funding. Please donate at TucsonWildlife.com.
Are you ready to immerse yourself in a diverse culture while wandering through bustling markets, sampling exotic cuisines, or forging connections with people from all walks of life? Well, Bon Voyage Travel is here to plan your perfect journey. Whether you're setting off on a solo expedition, embarking on a group adventure, or simply dreaming of far-off destinations, we can help create your custom experience. The road ahead is filled with endless possibilities. Visit bvtravel.com to find your specialized Bon Voyage Travel advisor today.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and penal politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show and the Green Things Zocalo Village Studio. A great getaway this time of year, great weekend trip.
the land of enchantment, New Mexico. Silver City in Grant County, it's worth a three-hour drive just to cool off. The mile-high elevation means 10 degrees at least cooler. So we're talking about temperatures in the 80s, overnight lows sometime in the future here, the next couple of days, upper 40s. So that looks really good. Great getaway over in Silver City. Start your planning, southwestnewmexico.org. Start your planning for any kind of trip with Bon Voyage Travel. They are the wonderful travel experts over there. They've been in business since 1976. For our travel talk, insider travel talk on the Buckmaster Show, we rely on our travel contributor, Ryan Hansen, president and the chief operating officer of Bon Voyage Travel. And Rhino, I was looking at some of these trending destinations. Kind of interesting. Were you surprised on some of them?
I was surprised, but I was pleasantly surprised at one of the trends. When you look at almost all of the 10, Bill, and we'll dive into a handful of them, they're all kind of the offshoot of a very popular destination that we've talked about recently as kind of an over-tourism theme, that some of the major destinations across the world, like a Sydney, like an Athens, like a Rio de Janeiro, these places are very popular to the point of, do you even want to go? Because there's so many people there and you're going to be overrun with more people. What's great about this list, and we'll jump into a couple of them here, is it's wonderful destinations that maybe you haven't thought about. And that's why this list, I think, is so hot, is that's the new trend, is finding something slightly different than the most popular that can be just as fulfilling, if not more fulfilling, because of the lack of tourism that is there just yet.
Yeah, like going down to Sydney, Australia, rather than maybe going to Sydney or maybe combining Sydney with Brisbane up on what they call the Gold Coast or Sunshine Coast. I've been up there. It is absolutely fabulous, and it's the gateway to the Great Barrier Reef, Ryan Hansen.
Yeah, some unbelievable cities down under. You and I have talked about it. We love Australia for a number of reasons. One of the reasons I love it is if you have not traveled internationally, I feel it's an easy transition for your first international destination because of the assimilation within a Western culture, right? The language, you're not going to have a problem. The food is still within your wheelhouse of a Western civilized cuisine and palate for someone, but the wildlife, the topography, the cityscapes are going to be just breathtaking and so unique. And I do like your thought of combining the Gold Coast, combining a Brisbane and Cairns, which is even further north and west up the eastern coast of Australia, with that Sydney and Melbourne run that are kind of your two most popular destinations down under. As you get up into the Gold Coast, and it's a whole different wildlife, a whole different temperature zone in that region, and take your way up to Cairns, and now you're out onto the Barrier Reef, which if you haven't snorkeled or scuba dived in, at the Great Barrier Reef, and you love that type of adventure, there is no place on earth that can compare to the Great Barrier Reef.
And a little bit of a travel tip for folks. When we were in that on the Gold Coast, when you're in Cairns, take the day trip, the boat out to Green Island. I think it only takes about an hour from the port there in Cairns. It is a magical island, wonderful destination.
I love those little extra tips from you, Bill, because of your so well-traveled passport. You can chime in so expertly. I love it.
Well, you know, and one of the destinations that people now are actually saying, you know, I just don't want to get into the crowds over in, like, Paris. The Brittany Coast, oh my goodness, a beautiful scenic area that is often overlooked, Ryan Hansen.
Yeah, when you talk about France, there's a few of those hotspots, right? And who wouldn't want to go to Paris, unless maybe you've been there before and you don't want to go because of all the crowds? Obviously, the Olympics this summer brought a very highlight to an incredible destination. You can get down into the south of France and really enjoy that area. There's wonderful with Marseille and Nice, some great stops. But boy, heading to Brittany up on the western part of France, Incredibly different topography. Again, rugged coastlines, old architecture. Love the medieval streets and the feeling of St. Malo. It's a picturesque kind of fairy tale part of the world. And it really combines culture with cuisine and great wines in that area as well. Just a tradition that it's French in nature, but it's slightly different than your Parisian style, or even when you get down into the French Riviera. So we love it as an alternative for a French trip.
And speaking of the wine and the wonderful vineyards of the vintners in South Africa, if you go to Cape Town, one of the most beautiful cities in the world, only an hour away to the wine country, at least 50 vineyards in that area. What a beautiful area of South Africa.
Yeah, South Africa, you think, first of all, safari, right? So you're thinking, I want to go to Kruger National Park. Maybe Johannesburg could be tied into a Cape Town visit, which, of course, you're going to want to go to Table Mountain. There's so many great things to see, but don't forget that there's other opportunities outside of maybe what everybody talks about. And if you love your wines, Franschhoek is just an hour drive away with an incredible array of bistros and restaurants. Because of the connection to France years ago, there is a kind of a French flair in this area as well. So you can indulge in your wine tastings and food opportunities all the while the next day go out on a game drive in Kruger National Park. It's an amazing destination that you're not too far away from all these varied experiences.
Ryan Hansen with me. We're doing travel talk, talking about some of the trending destinations. Macau, China, the one-time Portuguese colony. Oh, my goodness, what the Portuguese influence there and some of the great European-influenced architecture. But now Macau has become the Las Vegas of Asia, Ryan.
Right. Who knew, right? There's lots of I've heard that Starkville, Mississippi is the Las Vegas of the South. I don't think it compares anywhere close to Macau, China, in regards to the nightlife, the casinos. And again, the mix of culture, which is one of the things I love about traveling, is you have, you know, an Eastern culture from a Chinese standpoint, all juxtaposed with a very contemporary modern lifestyle, especially when you enter in with casinos and hotels that are brand new, cutting edge technology, all with the historical perspective of the Chinese culture that dates back centuries, where you have UNESCO World Heritage sites next door to brand new 5 and 6 star luxury hotel accommodations. It's an incredible time to travel to Asia to experience these different things all in the same trip. And that's one reason why Macau is on this list.
Yeah, and also on the list closer to home, Moab, Utah. Some great hiking in there with all the beautiful red-colored rocks. And then Sun Valley in Idaho, where the famous Sun Valley Lodge, where Ernest Hemingway, there's actually a suite dedicated to Ernest Hemingway in Sun Valley, because that is where he wrote The Sun Also Rises. Of course, Papa, as he was known, had a home there and ended his life in Sun Valley.
Yeah, one of the silver linings of the COVID pandemic was a resurgence of the national park, was a resurgence of domestic travel, and that you don't have to go to Macau necessarily or South Africa to experience incredible views and vistas like you would find in Moab. You can have the adventure's paradise from hiking to mountain biking, rock climbing, all of those adventures can be just an easy trip away here from Tucson to up to Moab. And we do love Sun Valley for similar reasons, because of the outdoors enthusiast to enjoy cooler temperatures, dare I say, Bill Buckmaster, for those listeners
yes.
in Tucson. The mountainside scapes and the lodge experience in these picturesque towns like Sun Valley really are a neat getaway for those of us in Tucson during the hottest most months, but it's a year-round destination is Sun Valley. So think of it too for the winter sports, of course. But I love it because it's close. You can get away from Tucson and feel like you're in a completely unique destination, not too far away, and just being nestled right in between. Moab is nestled between five national parks. We love that there's been a spotlight that's returned to the national park.
All right. BVTravel.com, the place for start your travel dreams. Ryan Hansen, out of time. Always a pleasure talking travel with you. Thanks, Rhino.
Thanks, Bill.
All right, that'll do it. Buckmaster saying, have a great afternoon.